Malice brewed far out in the southern Atlantic, where two winds met from different quarters of the world. At first, they stalked each other, blowing blasts between calms as they circled. But in the dying embers of sunset, in the empty spaces of the equator, they combined with a force that turned the calm tropical seas of summer into a cauldron of froth and fury. A storm gathered. It brooded alone for a while, gathering its force until it sent out the first signals of doom at dawn, with steep running swells. They grew in force with each mile, forming giant walls of death which caught the shipping lanes asleep. The captain and crew of the small Soviet cargo ship Orion labored up huge frothing walls. A dark sky poured thundering falls upon her wooden decks, rendering chaos in what seemed like an attempt to clean her of all life. Knotted and tangled wreckage was strewn across her once sanded and swabbed decks. The ship pitched, struggling to climb the endless advance of waves. When she finally broke clear of the white-capped tops, she took the full force of the howling gale, and then plunged deep into the next swell as though she would dive straight into the bowels of the sea. But each time she slowly righted herself, vibrating the very rivets from her iron skin, she sailed herself. The helm was dead. For that matter, so was the helmsman and most of the crew. The racket made it hard for the captain to concentrate. Deep-set wrinkles chiseled his weathered face. His jaw clenched. Never had he experienced the force of a sea like this. It felt as though God's wrath was focused on his ship in angry condemnation of the unnatural cargo secreted below her decks. To avoid contact and possible discovery, the Orion had wandered around the Mediterranean and the Atlantic like the lost Dutchman, staying clear of ports and shipping lanes, taking on water and supplies in the dead of night on lonely, unguarded beaches. And now his ship was coming apart in the unseasonable storm, screaming and groaning in harmony with the few seamen who still clung to life. Clusters of them held to their stations as the storm worsened. The radio had died, as though it mattered. The captain had fought many storms and knew the power that came when high winds pushed waves across 1,000 miles of open sea. Even now he could feel the great seas fingering the hull for weaknesses as the storm took on a renewed fury, sounding as though the devil himself sought a song of welcome in the rigging above. Nothing seemed to make sense in the confusion. The captain tried to think. He was tired, and the cold numbed him. But he had to concentrate, to fight his terror and get below. He no longer knew their location. The storm had broken all the glass out of the wheelhouse and washed his instruments away. He peered out at the horizon and saw a great gathering darkness, denser than the rest of the sky, that seemed to be sucking all that was left afloat into its oblivion. He figured they were far enough off course to open his sealed orders. He had to get below to his cabin and read them. It was his duty. He looked around for help. There was none. A powerful gust hit the vessel amidships and leaned her to the very rail caps. Men slid down the slippery gunwales, frantically grabbing at flotsam as they dropped screaming into the sea. The captain clung to the wheel, trying to hold on for yet another minute, knowing his ship would not recover again. The forward hatch already lay ajar, shipping water. The wind slackened, falling silent with foreboding. They had entered the eye of the storm. Their end would meet them when it passed over. The ship sat dead in the water, her engines probably flooded, her engineers drowned. The captain could imagine what hell had been unleashed below, but that was exactly where he must go. He had to open those sealed orders. Men slowly got to their feet and helped each other to safer parts of the ship, preparing for the coming onslaught. Time was slipping. Life was precious now, measured in heartbeats.